Baltimore. Who's your friend?
I don't like punching games, so I wouldn't like that. I'm not a punching person.
Let's talk about it on the air.
I'm more of a mocking person. I'm okay with mocking people, but not punching people. Okay. Which is worse?
To punch a mockingjay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And below us are a bunch of drunks.
Well, I wouldn't say they're drunk.
They might be.
They just might be in love.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, that's a sort of, I guess that's sort of a drunkenness.
And that is what our podcast theme is today. This podcast for young lovers.
Yes.
So if you're an old lover, get out of here.
Hit the road.
You wrinkled bag. Get out of here. Take a walk.
Sounds like last
love
week.
Love is for the young. Get out of here. You True make enough. Us sick. Boo. Boo, your lasting love.
That's right.
50th anniversary. 50th. Boo. Yeah, what is that? Paper, plastic, diamond?
There
it's
is
shit.
No,
that's what it is. Take it outside, Grandma. We don't want to see it.
There's no such thing as old love. It's just complacency.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Anyway, as I said, I'm Ian. This is David. This
yep.
is episode 194 of our award-missing podcast.
We have missed so many awards.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Normally, we don't fill out the form, so that's probably part
of it.
Apparently, there are awards for podcasts, but imagine going to one of those
yep.
Award
the
shows. Yeah, what would you go?
The potties?
You go, and you'd sit there, and what would you do?
I thought it was for something totally different, the potties.
Yeah. That's right. That was something your award your parents gave you when you were
kid.
Like, one or something. I don't know. When's potty training age?
Five. I was five.
Ooh.
It's all right.
That's a rough kindergarten.
Truly
was.
Bad
kindergarten.
It was crazy finger painting.
It feels like, and I don't want to stereotype mm-hmm. podcasters, but like.
Please don't stereotype.
But if, at the potty awards, then you go up to get an award and you'd be like, the lights are too bright. And you got to dim the lights for everybody. Just
that's
go up
right.
and just like.
Everyone in podcasting likes it a little dim.
Yeah, just a little dim, a little basement-y.
Mm-hmm.
There you are. Now,
dank.
I'm not doing a nerd stereotype there. I'm not saying
none of that at all.
And
let's just say it's an archetype, not a stereotype.
I could also be doing an NPR
sure.
situation. They, I think, I can't see the NPR offices being brightly lit.
Nope.
They seem like they must be dark. You can't do a This American Life in brightness.
They like it gloomy.
Yeah.
I was watching a movie the other day. I don't know if they're watching, but the person kept going to read something. Oh, it was just that movie, The Rewrite, I was talking about with Hugh Grant and Marissa Tomei.
Okay.
And he's going to...
What year is this movie from?
It's recent.
Is it a year when that was a good thing for Hugh Grant and Marissa Tomei to be in your movie? Or,
is there any...
they're still around.
Yeah, I kind of had that kind of feeling.
All right, go. Please continue.
But it wasn't a terrible film by any means. It was perfectly free to watch. But it was interesting because there's a couple scenes where he's going to read some... He's a failed screenwriter who gets a job at a kind of a smallish college in somewhere in upstate New York.
So a screenwriter has written a movie about a failed screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yes. And so he goes to the school and he's supposed to read these screenplays he gets from the students.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in both scenes where he's going to read the screenplays, it's so dark that it was hurting my eyes to watch him reading. I was like making me uncomfortable. I'm like, you can't read in that kind of light. Don't do that. It's not good for you. He didn't really actually read them. I won't give away any parts of the movie.
Okay. But would you recommend people watch it?
You know, if you like romantic comedies and you like Hugh Grant,
yeah,
it's perfectly acceptable
right, sure.
film. I enjoyed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
I
right,
enjoyed
I'll
it.
Give it a shot.
It's one of those, it's a romantic comedy and also a teacher, a person who doesn't appreciate teaching, finding himself in that,
right,
that
let
job.
Me ask you this
it's
question.
It's got a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, so Hugh Grant is aging right now.
He is
All right,
yes.
but let me ask you a question.
If you
before
saw him in Man from U.N.C.L.E., you went, man, he's aging.
Okay, well, that was what I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Now, is he aging on a Mission Impossible scale? Is he aging more Tom Cruise or Alec Baldwin?
He's starting to get to the Alec Baldwin age now,
mm-hmm.
where it's harder to keep the Hugh Grant together.
Right.
Because he was Hugh Grant for a long time.
Right.
You know, and in the film, there's an interesting thing where did Hugh Grant win an Oscar for something?
I don't think that's possible.
He won an award for something because they show him as a young man accepting an award.
Was it a movie about someone who accepts
no,
awards?
No, no, no. It was an actual
Maybe
award
he was the
ceremony.
Guy who invented the Oscar.
He is, yes. Hugh Grant. That's why he's looking a little aged now is because
No, I mean like he played a movie about maybe the guy who invented the Oscar.
No.
So he was
it wasn't a film.
Oscar.
It was an actual event.
Okay.
And so they're able to show him as a young man accepting the Oscar. And then you see him as an older man, not, you know, who's, you know, won an Oscar for his screenplay to a movie called Paradise Misplaced, which actually sounded like a pretty interesting film in the film itself.
What was Paradise Misplaced? Hugh Grant Oscar speech. How is this possible?
There you go.
Okay.
You're looking up online. That feels like you're cheating.
Why don't you your goddamn mouth?
When our show is about young love and we're no longer young. Okay. It feels like I think he won it for Lair of the White Worm. I think that's probably the best movie he's been in.
Ah, here's what he won for. Why don't you guess? Do you want to guess? I'm going to give you a year. 1994 he won. So best performance by an actor in a motion picture. And here are the category: comedy/musical.
Comedy/musical.
It was a comedy.
But it's not Four Weddings and a Funeral, is it?
Yes, sir. You win.
That's what I thought it would be.
Ding, ding, ding. Well done.
Thank you. That seems a pretty specific category. Was it a time when they had
Golden Globes. Golden Globes.
Okay.
Golden Globes. Moving on, everybody.
Well, maybe that's what it was, though, and they just kind of made it seem like it was an Oscar speech.
Okay. That seems much more...
Because he's watching it on YouTube or something.
Wait, are you thinking of the Kids' Choice Awards? Because he did win for Notting Hill.
The Kids' Choice Awards?
Yes.
Notting Hill.
Yes.
I wonder what
he shared it with Julia Roberts. That was in 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a different time. That was pre 9/11.
That's not a bad movie.
It was a different mindset.
It's not a bad film. But I didn't realize the kids were into Notting Hill.
MTV,
they must have got it mixed up with Cypress Hill.
Yeah, MTV Movie Awards. Yeah. That again, he won Best Breakthrough Performance for Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Okay.
Okay.
Breakthrough. They didn't realize he was acting in the 80s in that great Ken Russell film, Lair of the White Worm. Everyone, if you haven't seen Lair of the White Worm, you should go see that movie. I mean, you shouldn't rent it or steal it, but you should go somewhere to watch it, like I did.
Yeah.
In fact, I did that twice. I watched it twice. I enjoyed his pen rising up phallically while two men are wrestling on a plane in his dream that I just had to see it twice because I was so mind-boggled by it.
Yeah. Any movie with phallic pens.
Oh, it's great. He's holding a pen on his lap, like straight down.
Yeah.
And then these two, Amanda Donahue, I think, and then and another actress in the movie, or might have been, what was her name? She was in a whole bunch of films by Ken Russell at that time. But anyway, they're wrestling, and then... Yeah. And he's watching them, and then his pen goes up in the air. Like, he just lifts his hand up, and so his pen goes, whoop. And it's like a close-up of the pen. It's not, like, subtle. It's not like, oh, did you notice that? No, no, it's like Ken Russell goes, we got to need a close-up of the pen rising. You know, Hugh, can you just lift that pen up? There you go. Okay, good. Move on. Next scene. Let's relight something else besides Hugh's lap with a pen in it. Yeah, no, it was an interesting film.
Man, if there's podcasts back then, they would have talked about that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. It's a good movie.
This is the last thing I'm going to say about the subject of podcasters.
Okay.
Because I don't want
Please don't beat this into the ground.
Right.
The fact that we've missed many awards.
Right.
Also the casties.
I'm not going to.
Didn't get those.
No. I'm going to.
Which a lot of people mix up with the fishing awards, but no.
Well, most people think that is an award for people who are castrated.
Castrados. Castrati singers.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Is the castrados. That's it. That is the award for that.
That's a different thing entirely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what. Well, I don't even want to finish this. No, I was just going to say, I don't think that podcasters are all nerds, but if there was an artist who was to draw basically podcasters, I think that artist would be Charles Adams. I think that's
to draw podcasters.
Yeah, like any podcaster looks that I've met.
Yeah.
Nothing against them.
Sure.
But they all look like they've been drawn by Charles Adams. I am including myself in that.
I don't feel like I'm an Adams sort of a person.
Okay, so what?
I think I'm more of a
Gayan Wilson.
I was thinking more of a Peter Arno. I think I'm more of a Peter Arno.
I don't know
guy.
Who that is.
Well, there you go. You see, you missed out a whole section of New Yorker cartoons.
Okay, fine.
He did a lot of New Yorker cartoons. Peter Arno. He's one of the early ones. He was like there at the beginning.
Yeah.
He's like, I got some charcoal and I like to draw with it. Can you guys use my cartoons? They're like aces.
There's a local guy, and I'm not going to say his name because I've forgotten it and I feel bad about that. But he's a local guy, and about 4 years ago, he said to me, do you want to look at some of my cartoons? And I looked at them, and he asked me for some notes, and I gave him some notes on his cartoons, and now he's a regular in the New Yorker.
Yeah. He's also a stand-up comic in town.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty
there
funny.
You go. And that's how you succeed. You ask me for notes, ignore them, success.
Oh, he ignored your notes?
I don't know.
He might have used them. He might have been
no
He's
idea.
Got some good ideas here.
I have no idea, but he does
got
have
good
ideas, and I like his drawing style.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll have him on the show, and I'll remember his name.
Jacob.
Oh, God damn it. Now it's a real dick move, because now you've actually named
oh,
him.
Oh, sorry.
See, like, I really got away with it up until that point, and then it was like that. But yeah, yes, damn it. Okay, we'll have
I'm
to have
to make,
him on
I'm
the
I'm trying
show.
To remind myself, because I've seen him do stand-up a couple times.
Oh, man alive, I'm a jerk now.
I wish I could remember.
It's okay, it's fine.
Sorry, everybody.
It's fine.
Sorry.
So, Dave.
Yes.
I hear you got a Cintiq.
Who told you that?
I don't know, we're talking art.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You told me over dinner.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Why don't you explain to the nice people what that means?
Well, a Cintiq is it's a
sounds like cynic.
It's like a tablet.
Okay, only but more
it's a,
cynical.
It's a tablet that it's sort of antiquated. So no, it's a tablet that you can see the drawing on it, and you can actually draw on the tablet.
So it's a computer screen that you can draw directly on.
Yeah, and you can draw.
No middleman. No messenger. There's no middleman. It's not like the Wacom tablet where you draw with your hand and look up at the screen and pray to God.
Which that I used. Connect. Hey, I used that for probably 8 years. I used a very, very basic, super basic Wacom bamboo, which is like the most basic. Like it has four buttons on it. And it's got a 4x6 inch drawing area. And that's what I did every title card that I've done in the last whatever long the stupid show's been on. I've been doing with his little Wacom bamboo.
It's been so on it's perfectly for 194 weeks.
I'm going to say it's a perfectly fine thing.
Pardon me. I've never sneezed on the air before,
he's
I don't think.
In allergic weeks. To Cintiqs, we've discovered. And so I'm not going to knock that. And I don't mind. I got very used to that. Drawing on a tablet and looking at the screen,
and you're good at it.
And I didn't bother me too much. The problem with it is if you're doing it a lot, is you tend to hunch over while you're doing it, and it gets you get a sore back from drawing for a while with a tablet. I found I have a terrible posture anyway, so that but it didn't help me.
Would I found you say you look like a Charles Adams character.
A Charles, yes. I was gonna say more like a
Charles Atlas.
Yes, more of a Charles Atlas character. The guy who gets a sand kicked in his face.
Yep.
That's what I look like. Lanky.
Wait, before or after?
Before.
Okay.
Much before.
But then you worked out like him, and now you're all Johnny Buff.
You know.
And then you went back and you punched a guy in the face, clearly at least 2 years later. He judging by the amount of muscle that's right. on this person. She's like, hey, remember me?
Nope.
From when? Nope. How?
I don't. And it's like, oh, I know, I'm bleeding.
And then the
I woman, didn't punch you. I just kicked some sand at you.
I know. And then the jerk? Yeah, that's, yeah. Kicking sand is not equivalent to punch in face.
Yeah.
And then, kind of dicky, and then the other people on the beach are like, oh, you're such a man. And you're like, well, the girl who I was with earlier, I guess hasn't been dating anybody, or she was dating the other guy, something. But there's a weird backstory there.
Yeah.
And then, but then everyone has hated this guy on the beach for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And someone's finally come and like plowed him in the puss. Of course, now here's what you don't see. Here's what you don't see. Chapter 2. Mm-hmm. He goes and gets the Charles Atlas. Because Charles doesn't go, I don't sell to bullies.
Yeah.
Charles sells to everybody.
It's dynamic basically like, tension.
Yeah, first day. Yeah, there's dynamic tension in this relationship. So the first thing is like, you know, first guy gets a gun. Ha ha, that's great. What happens day two? Other guy gets a gun. Now we have a muscle off.
Yeah.
And they're both, now this guy has to learn kung fu. Now the other guy has to learn death touch.
Yeah.
Fuck it. It's a horrible beach at that point.
Very horrible.
Please continue. Cintiq.
Cintiq. So, yeah, I've been using that for a long time. And then I was looking on Craigslist, and I guess this guy won one. He won a Cintiq in a contest at his work, and he doesn't need it, doesn't like using that sort of thing when he's working. And so he's put up for sale. So then I thought, well, you know what? I've wanted one of those for quite a while now, at least 6 months. No, more than that. And so I thought, well, you know, this is going to be a step up in my drawing. I don't think it's going to improve my drawing, by the way, but it's a step up in like my process.
Right.
The fact that it's just a 13-inch screen. It's not like the big 24-inch or 21-inch ones, which are really big.
Yeah, but why do you
need
that as your first one?
That's exactly right. So I thought, well, this is a good kind of step up because I was thinking about getting a fancier tablet. So instead of the bamboo, they sell one called an Intuos tablet, which is still the kind that you draw on and look at the screen. But you get more buttons on it, so it gives you more. Because the nice thing about the Cintiq or the Intuos is that it's not just the drawing, but it's the fact that you have buttons that control various actions. So you can have one that, you know, for selecting or changing the paintbrush and changing the size of your paintbrush or make it smaller or bigger or undoing and redoing things and this stuff like that, right? So it makes it all faster, so you're not always reaching to your keyboard and having to do little things like that. And so that's good. But this one's interesting because, it's all what you're drawing is right in front of you. Instead of you drawing, you know, with your hand down and looking at a screen, you're drawing onto the screen and you can see what you're drawing. And I have to say that, I was using it to do some coloring and it was much faster with that, like way faster. Like I was just burning through it. I felt guilty how fast I was going. I thought, I don't deserve this. It's way too fast. That's too efficient. So I'm really excited to be doing... I hope we get a good title card.
You're sure you're not
card.
Catholic, right?
Because
that sounds like a Catholic
bit of a... It's modesty.
Okay. This is all working. Things are great.
Excessive modesty.
I feel terrible.
Yeah, excessive modesty. I just don't deserve it. So I'm looking forward to doing a title card. I hope we get a good title card out of this episode, not a piece of crap one like I've been doing for the last while. Because it's,
Well, you've already mentioned a whole bunch of wonderful New Yorker cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
So there we go. We're already set. One. True. Also, Hugh Grant aging badly. You got that?
He's not aging that badly.
Oh, I don't know. It's whatever you want to do for comedic purposes.
Knock yeah, that's out. True. I mean,
so now every other topic
I was surprised at how he looked in Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's like, it's almost like in the film, kind of like Alec Baldwin's character, I suppose, that you can't be as good looking as the other people you're in the film with. So they kind of pump up your oldness rather than, you know, bring it down a little bit. You know, because in a movie like The Rewrite, where it's sort of a romantic comedy, even though it's like an older character meeting an older character.
Right.
Like Marissa Tomei and he, they're No Spring Chickens. And that's fine. You know, and
that's also a good name for a movie, No Spring Chickens.
Yeah, thank you. They, if anyone wants to use it, just pass me $5.
Remember, only young people should be in love.
That's true.
Just going back to our theme.
No spring chickens. They get together but they're both youngish looking in the film. Like that is a film doesn't like go right up to their faces and go, look at that. Look at age is done to them. But whereas in Man from U.N.C.L.E., you know, it's like a lot of Italian sunshine on poor Hugh Grant. And they make him wear glasses and you know, he just looks a lot older in it. You know?
No, older people.
And he's like with Henry Cavill Armie Hammer?
I was going to say,
Armie Hammer is his name, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Armie Hammer from...
Armie.
Fine.
A-R-M-I-E.
Fine.
Hammer, who are both very young and handsome fellows.
Yes.
You know, like that Henry Cavill.
Who both made disappointing movies.
Yeah, oh, he didn't like Lone Ranger, eh?
No. Did you?
No.
No, you didn't. Of course you didn't. It's pretty fine. Yeah.
It's kind of silly.
Though I've got nothing against him. I've got nothing against either of those actors.
No.
Didn't like Man of Steel, but I don't mind. Yeah.
I saw Man from U.N.C.L.E. and I liked it quite a bit, actually. I like Guy Ritchie, though, so I like his films. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the Sherlock Holmes films he's done, and I enjoyed that film. I thought you took a concept, like a TV show concept, which you'd be kind of like, meh, you know, like if someone told me that, they're remaking Man from U.N.C.L.E., isn't that exciting? My reaction would be, I've maybe seen one of the episodes.
Which
of
is
that
probably
show.
For the best. That's it. That's what you want. It's like, oh, okay. I don't know it. Great.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Let's here it is.
But I feel like the movie itself really doesn't relate to the show.
Yeah,
because in the show, they seem to be friendly. In the movie, there's a lot of competition between them because it really plays up the sort of American, you know, communist or whatever, you know, the American-Russian conflict or Soviet conflict.
You know, there's been a series, you know, the new Mission Impossible movie just came out.
That's true.
Also
I can't argue with you.
Based on a TV show. And again, we've had a bad Fantastic Four movie that everyone was about.
Based on a TV show?
Right. Okay. But here's the thing. And so sometimes a TV show movie, hit and miss.
Yep.
Sometimes a comic book movie, hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one type of movie. Miss.
Okay.
Miss.
And
more miss.
Misses again?
Keep missing.
Yeah.
Never hits.
Is it a genre film that you're talking about? Or
I'm going to say based on a something. And it's miss.
Based on a poem?
Miss.
Based on a Broadway play?
No. Chicago got the Oscar for best.
That doesn't mean it's good.
No, but it got an Oscar.
Yeah.
What
the fuck?
Okay. Do you want to try again? Take two more guesses as to what the one just came out. It's in theaters now. You won't see it. You probably don't know it's there, but it's there.
Yeah.
It had money behind it.
Based on a video game?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Hitman 47, I think is what it was. Yeah.
Agent 47, yeah.
Came out, no one cares, and it's awful.
No one cares. But no one cared about Man from U.N.C.L.E. either, and if for some reason, I don't know why. Maybe it's Hangover for Man of Steel and Lone Ranger. It has two actors that didn't hit. You know, I've got to say that it's a very clever film. It's got a really clever scene in it.
I will
say that I really enjoy it. And he does a lot of like kind of split screen stuff that's really interesting. That kind of moves the story along very quickly in action sequences that I quite enjoyed. I thought it was a well done film. I mean, the ending, the ending's okay.
All right. I am looking forward
but
to
I enjoyed the chase,
it.
But it's the very end of the film. You know, it's still good. I mean, in fact, the very end of the film is sort of fun too. So I don't know. That's good.
So Dave's review of that is...
I give it a thumbs up.
All right, very good.
If that's legal to do.
You can't. Well, he's dead
now.
They're both dead. What are they going to do? Come back from the grave?
Yeah.
Stick their thumbs in your eye?
They could.
You know?
I've seen it happen in movies.
Oh, the thumbs. Imagine if that's the plot, right? Of the horror movie. Two thumbs come out of the grave and just attack bad movies. And movie makers.
Oh, I thought they just meant they dig it into your eye.
Yeah, they dig in your eyes. Bad directors, they'll just go and they'll just blah, like right into Michael Bay's eyes. And it's like, who are these?
Bad.
These are the thumbs of Siskel and Ebert. Come back from the dead.
Yeah.
But I wanted to...
That's not very fair to Michael Bay.
Okay, fair enough.
He may make a good film.
Someday.
One day, he might figure it out.
And you know what? If he makes it and he's blind from being stabbed in the eyes with thumbs, people will go, what a brave soul.
That's true.
He deserves our support.
He would get an Oscar for that. Yeah. He'd probably beat out Richard Linklater again, who somehow made a film that people enjoyed rather than went, mm.
Well, let me ask you, sorry, getting back to what I was talking about.
What was I talking about?
Why do you think, in your opinion, no... Okay, one of two questions.
Why don't video games work?
Why don't video game movies work?
Yeah.
Slash,
yeah.
Since they've clearly never worked.
Yeah.
And they've done them for decades now. Why do they keep doing them?
Well, I think they do make money.
Do they?
And that's what counts more than anything else.
Okay.
And I think they're cheap to develop. You know, there's already like a bare-bones story.
Like your Silent Hill movies. But, do they make money? I guess they must make some.
Yeah, they make money. They don't cost that much to make.
Okay.
You know, like Orlando.
This new movie that came out has
Orlando Bloom in it. He, let's face it, the bloom has gone off the rose there. Like, he's not making big money in his movies anymore. He's got a bit of a name for being in the Lord of the Rings films.
Right.
He trashes.
For being in the final season of Extras.
He's in the final season. That's right. He's pretty good in that.
Yeah. Or the first season of Extras.
No, the final, the second season. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he's pretty good in that. He has a good role there. That showed a sense of humor, which he needed to show.
Right. He's in other movies that we can't remember right now, but clearly he's in
movies. He's in a terrible, that movie Town, something Town.
Sure.
A Cameron Crowe film? Elizabeth Town.
Orlando Town.
Elizabeth Town. He's in that
film. There's a scene in there I like very much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the scene I like in there very much.
Was the end.
No, the scene was a scene where...
Someone else liked too.
It was like all these kids were going nuts in a house, and he couldn't settle them down. And then he put on a video, and it was of a builder who just went, you know, sit down, shut up. And it's like, do you guys want to see me blow up a house? And it was like, yeah, then shut up. Everyone shut up. And all the kids just sat down and watched. And then he just did a whole bunch of stuff, and then they blew a house up.
Yeah.
And I think they rebuilt the house afterwards in the video, and all the kids were just fascinated.
Huh.
And they just all shut up. And it was like the perfect video for kids. It's like, let's watch blow up a house.
Interesting.
I agree with. I think, like, knowing the kids I know, if there was a video, it was like, we're going to watch a video of houses blowing up. Boom. Yeah, they would immediately sit down and shut up. Whatever. Okay.
Okay, so, well, I'll just say why I think that
opinion,
they do. Yeah.
As a movie watcher.
The reason they don't work is because video games, by their nature, don't have acts. You know, there's no second act. There's no third act to it. So you basically are watching an entire first act for 2 hours. And eventually it just stops moving forward and the movie stops.
Okay.
It's the same problem you have with a lot of comic book movies. Is the comic books don't have a third act. Or graphic novels, they're not structured the same way as a... You know, like action graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
They're not structured in an organized way like a movie is.
Do you think? I would disagree with that. I think like a lot, like a good comic book plot or a standard.
Yeah. Let's say.
The something happens.
But I'm not talking about superhero ones. I'm talking about ones that are like Ninja Fighter, you know, like Wanted, something like that, where the character.
Okay.
You know, like a movie like that, like, or Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass works because they majorly rewrote
right.
the comic book. Like, if you read Kick-Ass the comic, thinking, you know what, I'd like to relive that movie, but in a comic book form, you would be disappointed because actually there's very little between them that's related.
Or you would be pleased because the movie is better than the
yeah,
comic.
That's right. You'd be like, oh, I didn't waste my time.
But superhero movies, I think, work because they go with a... Because I think comics have ripped off movies so much, they know the formula, mm-hmm. which is, you know, if you're going with an origin, here's the origin. The underdog gets powers, mm-hmm. Does the wrong thing, then starts doing the right thing.
You know, if it was that easy, though, Green Lantern would be a movie that works. But they don't understand the...
No. Their big fight... Oh, let me just tell you the plot. Underdog, he wasn't an underdog.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Green Lantern was guy top of the world.
Yeah.
Handsome guy, girlfriend, everything's great.
Sure.
Smoothie, smug. So, but your standard is underdog... gets abilities, learning to use them, gets good, gets mm-hmm. quite good. But then someone comes up, usually the opposite of him. Oh no, now I've got to fight something equal or more than me. I can't do it. Failure, bad. There's no way I can overcome these obstacles. And yet, you know what? I'm going to try anyway, even though I can't possibly win. Go in. Wait, I find the weakness, showing that what I believe is better than what you believe, and I don't win because I'm powerful. I'm winning because my philosophy is better than yours.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, accident occurs. I solve problem. You fall off building, die, get sucked up into space, some shit. Will the adventures continue? Maybe. Spinning question mark. End. Credits roll. Tease next movie. Good. Win. Yay. Hooray.
You know, that's... That's okay. I would complain now that the problem with superhero films is they follow that formula to the letter.
Yeah.
And it's becoming less interesting.
Well, as the world becomes more interesting, at least the Marvel ones, because they connect. I'll say, here's why I think
I just want to say one more thing.
All right, then I'll say something really
good. The problem with really good, other problem with graphic novels is when you're reading a story that's like a graphic novel, you can have lapses of logic that you can just gloss over in a comic book form because things look cool.
Okay.
Be like, oh, that's a really cool splash page there. So you can ignore the fact that you don't understand quite how that got to that splash page.
All right.
You know, like what, you know, there's no mechanism to get you there. You just kind of arrive there and you can, and because comics, a lot of the action occurs in between pages or in between panels, you know, so you fill in your own story to make it work. And you don't realize you're doing that, but comics, a lot of it is what happens in between. You are filling in yourself.
Yep, I agree.
When you watch a movie, you don't have that. The film doesn't.
Every moment is filled
in. Every moment is filled in. You don't fill it in for the film.
You can't project. They're not talking with your voice.
Yeah.
They are talking with your voice in your head.
And so when you have those lapses of logic in a graphic novel film, you know, there's things like suddenly there's a big fight and they do something impossible, or there's no reason. Where do these people come from? Why are they doing this?
Right.
You know, what's cool in the comic book where it's just a big fight sequence. When you do it in the film, you're suddenly wondering like, where did everyone come from? Like what's happening? I don't kind of understand.
Yeah,
like
a bit of a mess.
Yeah. It just feels weird and messy. Yeah, exactly. Right. There's a lot of films that are based on graphic novels like Wanted. They just feel messy and dumb because, you know, what worked in the comic, what seemed cool on a piece of paper that's just flat laying there, that you filled in a lot of information that's makes it pleasing to you. You know, when you watch it on the screen, you're like, ugh, these people are awful. Oh, look, it's Chris Pratt. Yeah. That's what you think when you watch Wanted the second time.
Oh, is he in there?
Yeah, he's the friend who fucks his girlfriend.
Does he? Oh, he gets hit in the face with the keyboard that spells something.
Yeah.
What does it spell? Do you remember?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt will return in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, really pushed that forward.
Yeah, really prescient. Yeah. But you know what I mean, right? That's a problem. And I think that's a problem with computer games as well.
And then that guy went like, and I'll be Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. See you later.
And I think that's a problem with computer games a little bit. But I think more of the problem with computer games is there's really, because it's just a, you know, we used this word earlier today with Tintin. It really doesn't work there. It's because it's just a clothesline that has a lot of incidents strung along it. You know,
by the way, when you say we used it earlier with Tintin, we didn't in this podcast.
Yeah,
we did in our other podcast, Totally Tintin.
Yes, that's right.
Still available for download.
Still
Anyone
available.
Anyone wants to listen to those, they're still available for download.
It's your choice. That's
okay,
what we say.
Please continue.
Don't blame us. And so
please don't confuse that with our Rin-Tin-Tin podcast.
Please don't. Rantantan. Proper pronunciation. I'm going to use that joke twice today.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? So it's all.
I like that you're doing the same hand gestures while you do the joke twice. Completely unnecessary. You're doing it again.
I don't know. I'm a hand talker.
All right.
I'm a hand talker. Doesn't matter.
Mamma mia. Look at this guy.
If we're going to do this as a video podcast one day, feel free to see.
We will. Go continue.
So, you know, it's all in a video game, it's all strung out in a clothesline in incident after incident, you know. And something like Grand Theft Auto, where it's really just a wandering around until you. Unless you want to do the story, and even there you end up wandering around a lot.
I feel bad because I think I have solved this mystery completely.
Okay, well you tell me.
And now, David.
Yeah.
Here, could you give me a little intro to this? Like Ian will tell you why video game movies don't work.
And now Ian will tell you why video games don't work.
No, not video games. Video game movies don't work.
Oh shoot! Sorry, let me do it
video
again.
Video games work great.
I'll edit it. Okay. I'll edit it. We'll just cut out the part.
All right, Dave, go have fun with it.
It's so much fun to do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. And now Ian will tell you why video game movies don't work.
Okay, thank you. David, here's why video game movies don't work.
Did you hear that? I hope that horn was audible.
Yep. The horn from Grand Theft Auto.
Here's why video
Grand
games
Theft Auto 3, I think, if I recognize that horn. It's this.
Yeah.
All right. Why do
Not enough rocket launchers.
Why video games feel good when you play them?
Yes.
Because video games feel good when you play them, at least modern video games for the most part, is you're dumped in a world.
Yeah.
And again, it's a lot like the movies where like you get some tools and you're like sort of powerful.
Okay.
You're like, oh, I can do this. And then as you move along, you grow more powerful. Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And then you get more power. So it's like, oh, I understand this. I'm now understanding the world. Now you're having fun. You're immersed in it. But along the way, then a boss level will show up. This huge boss will show up. And you die.
Yes.
Right. And now you play it again. And you die.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat 25 times till you see his hand looks weak. And then you're like, I'm going to shoot that hand. Shoot the hand. Oh, that worked. I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
Die 10 more times. And then you finally, when you do beat the boss level,
yeah,
you have had so many deaths,
yeah,
that like you're just, yeah, you jerk, you killed me 107 times, but I just beat you. Whereas you watch the video game movie,
yeah,
hero goes to fight boss. Hero beats boss first time.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Then it's not a tough boss. That's the thing. You lose all of the deaths. The deaths in the video game, the times you die in Grand Theft Auto, that, you know, and try to do this thing, but you drive off a bridge and go, shit, you know, but then you get it. And you're like, oh, I got it. You don't achieve that in the video game because no one dies. There's no stakes because you know this hero that you're playing will survive all the way through. And so it's like watching a guy who's really good play a video game through the whole thing. It's like, well, who gives a fuck about that? You know, that's not fun to watch. Mm-hmm. You want to see death, and then the satisfaction in a video game is overcoming the insurmountable obstacle, the thing that you could never possibly beat. You beat it. You beat that stupid Bowser. I grabbed his tail. I threw him around. I hit the thing 3 times. Yes, I'm going to go to see the princess, and I'm going to have a piece of cake because that's where we're going to have cake on the roof. And if I really care,
yeah,
I'm going to beat those other things, and Yoshi's going to join us, and Yoshi's going to have cake too. It's arbitrary. Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter, except it does matter because it's all played out in my head. But if I watched a Super Mario movie where he just like beat everything, I could watch YouTube videos of someone doing a perfect Super Mario game. Who cares? Who wants to see that? Unless I'm trying to like learn the skills. That's the problem with video game movies. They don't recreate what a video game is. Whereas a comic book movie, superhero comic books, they do recreate that experience.
You can have success. You can have
Spider-Man doesn't die. Spider-Man gets all beaten almost to death, mm-hmm, but Spider-Man don't die. You can duplicate that in a movie. You can't duplicate the video game experience.
Yeah.
And then you got films like Ghost World where they actually can sort of duplicate the graphic novel.
Yeah, there's
novel
some
experience.
That are successful. Yeah. I mean, something like Ghost World, I mean, it's short and yeah, it's a pretty snappy story.
More American
story.
Splendor, they find a good way to find go a good about way to, doing it.
Yeah. That's
duplicate
pretty,
the feel yeah of the movie, but using movie. That's the other thing. It's like you can't just do the movie, otherwise you're Watchmen. You yeah find an angle and then and a way in using the technology and the what movies do, and then you got American Splendor, and it's great.
Yeah, Watchmen is an example of why it doesn't work very well. I mean, Watchmen is very faithful rendition of the story of the yeah graphic novel Watchmen.
And the best part is the title sequence, which was what the filmmaker got to make up.
Yeah,
yeah.
The best part of the movie, yeah, is where he
uses
just gets
filmmaking techniques.
Yeah, is that. And that's the best part of it. I mean, yeah, it's too close to the book. And, you know, you just can't get the same thrill of splash panels in a movie as you do in a comic. This is
right.
It's a different
you can
experience.
You can do an almost, you know, the opposite of that, which to work to some people, is like Sin City, where they actually did almost do page for page, you know, what's in the book, duplicated, you know, on green screen.
Yeah.
Though it's interesting because then
it's so stylized that it takes it outside of reality into
right
a different sort of.
And it
yeah
was so unique that it worked once.
Yeah.
And then Frank Miller tried doing it in the Spirit movie and it worked not at all.
And then they tried it in Sin City 2 and it didn't work
very well.
And it
didn't work at all again, yeah, right? So it's like I don't want to say one trick pony, but it's something like, oh, that's amazing and dazzling and I don't want to see it again. Thank you very much. That was great. That was
yeah
enough.
Yeah,
I don't go back and watch that movie.
And it's a different
but
sort
it
of thing.
It worked for me at the time.
It's different than and it's a different. It's different than a regular movie. It's a different sort of viewing experience. Like it's sort of like modern Kabuki or something like that, where it's just like it's so stylized and odd that it exists outside of the real world. You know,
right.
So you're not. There's no attempt to make it feel real to you. You
and
know,
it
or
feels
to make
like
it feels like it's part of the world.
It's both is and it is a parody of the thing that it is. It's
yeah
like, you know,
it's hyper. Yeah, it's a hyper. Whatever, a hyper hard-boiled scenario.
And I don't want to be this negative, but
don't be a negative person.
Don't be a negative Nelly.
Don't be a Tommy Texter.
That's what they say before movies. It's ridiculous. Don't be a Susie Seat Kicker.
Yeah, please don't.
Don't be a Mandy Masturbator.
Don't live
put
up to
it
your,
away.
Don't live up to your name.
That's right.
Who would?
Don't
why
be
do you have that last name?
Don't be an alliterative thing.
Why do your parents name you?
This is all I got. I'm Tommy Texter. It's all I
I'm
got.
I'm Susie Seat Kicker. I've got to kick a seat.
I don't know how long texting will still be a thing.
That's right.
But Alan Moore said of.
Where's Shell Shit Eater?
Where's Francine Floor Cleaner? Just clean these floors. It's just sticky. Alan Moore said of Frank Miller that basically he let's say rips off, but that's basically what he said. What he copies from movies
yeah.
for his comics.
Yeah.
So when his comics are adapted to movies, people go, "What a good fit!"
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, because you use the techniques of movies in your comics, so of course it goes back that way. And he was using the example of 300 and Sin City.
Well, 300 is a terrible film, but okay.
Yeah, but it plays like a movie in the comic.
Okay.
So when you make it into a movie, blah blah blah. Blah. It goes to there.
That movie kills me.
I walked out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I walked out at about 50 because I went, I don't think the next 250 are going to be good. and I just left. I just went, no.
It's good that you're counting.
It's those times where I literally go, I'm not immortal. I'm not going to get this time back. There's so much else I could do. There must be something better for me outside.
Yeah.
This was a good risk. And I understand that I lost $8, but life goes on. Bye, everybody. I don't wave to everybody. I picture myself waving to everyone in the theater as I leave.
I watched it all, and I kind of wish I'd done that.
Yeah.
Because the story is a setup to you is that, you know, these guys, you know, they're vastly outnumbered by the Persian forces.
First of all, these are guys that like kicking people into holes.
Well, yeah. They're not even like people you like. The movie starts off, you're like, these guys are dicks.
Yeah.
I don't like these
people. This is Sparta, kick into a hole.
That's right.
Does anyone clean that hole? Because that seems like a terrible hole. Why do we even have that hole?
It's mostly full of people who said Farta. That makes up most of the hole.
More like Farta.
You jerk. Down the hole, he goes, why do people keep saying that? We just formed down a hole. Don't they realize?
Yeah, by the way, don't stand with your back to the hole.
It's irresistible.
That's your fault.
But in the story, like the idea is that they're able to resist these forces by holding up in this narrow part of a canyon or whatever,
right.
this area, this geographical spot. And from there, they're able to beat these guys because they can only come up them, you know, in bits and pieces rather than as a whole fighting force.
Right. Now, what these guys need to fight them is if they got to get them to stand in front of a giant hole, then they could just kick them into the hole.
Down.
Yeah.
That's right.
You got to trick them. They put like bird seed out.
That's right.
They just really trying to.
A lot of the Spartans crawl behind them on their hands and knees.
Free bacon. A lot of signs.
They crawl behind them on their hands and knees.
Pornography down there.
Yeah, always.
And then kick.
But in the film, they keep leaving this safe space and running out and attacking them out in the open area.
Yeah,
and you're like, this is not the point of it. The point of it is they're in this narrow thing and they can fight in there. If they're leaving, they're vulnerable to attack from all sides and they're outnumbered. Boo.
Yeah,
I was heard to say.
But they're fighting the big guy who's got a lot of earrings in his face.
And then I was watching something, and I don't know what it was. I think I was reading in the newspaper, and they're talking about actors transforming their bodies for roles. I think because
which they like to do
because of Southpaw has just come out, and Jake Gyllenhaal has done a lot of.
I was going to say, and Jake and the Fat Man.
Jake and the Fat Man.
Yeah, William Conrad transformed his body for that. First of all, into
Jake. He went from the Fat Man
to Jake.
And
that's how he founded Body by Jake.
Yeah. So they're talking.
You're cast as the Fat Man. And he went, oh, am I? Fuck it. And then just, grrr. And then like, now he's the Fat Man. It took a weekend.
But,
and then he was back to
In this article, they have they're talking about like Robert De Niro in Raging Bull.
Sure.
And this person in that movie. And then they mention.
Bridget Jones' Diary.
Bridget, that's right in there. Renee Zellweger, very good. That's good.
And by the way,
did you read the same article as me?
I did hear how she on another podcast.
Yeah.
But they revealed how that she gained the weight and what she ate every day. She ate one thing different every day. Here's what it was.
Cheesecake.
No.
Okay.
A Snickers bar. She ate a Snickers bar every day.
Oh.
That was it, and that gained that weight.
Wow. Wow.
So it really satisfies.
So
apparently, you're not yourself.
Not at all.
When you have a Snickers, here, Bridget Jones.
You're right.
Okay, go ahead.
So then they mentioned Gerard Butler in 300, mm-hmm. that he had to do a lot of work to look like a Spartan. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, they did a lot of CGI work on him after the movie was done, and then everyone looked like a Spartan. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody looks the same because they've all been sculpted on a computer. There's no work there. Maybe he lost a little weight. I don't know what he looked like before the movie. Maybe he had to, you know, fit into a green suit, so they needed him to be a certain weight, but... He didn't do all that. That's all drawn on him. Boo.
Yeah. You wonder, like, when you see Michael Douglas in the beginning of Ant-Man, and they do the youthifying, right?
Some major CGI.
CGI.
Yeah.
And you wonder, like, when you see, and I'm sorry to keep going to this well, but you see, I'll go with the year well. I'll go with the Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant. You know, do you think, like, he ever goes, like, listen, I'm going to have to do this with a British accent. Listen, if I'll give you some money, could you just CGI the old face a bit? Just a little. Give me. Listen, I'm asking for.
I like how he sounds
for,
like he's from the East End of London.
I need. Well, Michael, this is how he sounds.
Michael Caine.
This is how he sounds in real life.
In real life, okay. Right, okay, he doesn't listen. Have like a snooty accent. He's got.
Listen, I just need 1/8 of what you gave Michael. Not Michael Caine. Michael Douglas. I need 1/8 of
one-eighth
that.
1/8 of it.
How much does that cost me? Mm-hmm. Was that 10,000? Is it 100,000? I'll pay it. 1/8 of what you gave Michael Douglas. You have it in the computer. Yeah. Just give it to my face. Put it on my face. Take it away. You've got my face in all these other movies where I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
Take that face. Put it on this face.
Here's a little compliment to Michael Douglas, actually.
Okay.
Is that, you know, he did that movie. He sees that. And then he sees that they didn't do it through the whole film, and he's okay with that. Like if it's me, I'd be like, why don't we just keep doing that? Like keep making me look young. Yeah. That's good. I like that.
Here's what
I like how I looked.
Here's what happens if that happens.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you get a phone call from Robert Redford, and he's going, "Hey, could you yeah, retrofit exactly. me on that one too?"
Yeah. And it's like, no. Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, Winter Soldier. I look like a beach ball.
Yep.
Wearing a collar. But more like a volleyball. Actually,
he does a nice job though, leaning against that.
I look
glass,
like a deflating volleyball.
Leaning against the glass and just going. It's good. It's good Robert Redford work.
It's a good movie.
So a topic I want to ask you about.
This was a segue, everybody. That was quite a segue. It feels like we edited the show, but it wasn't edited at all.
You know whose podcasts succeed? People with segments.
Is that right?
Segmented podcasts.
So we should stop.
And now it's time for this segment Hero-overs. That people like.
Let's do Hero-overs. We'll just talk about things we talked about earlier in the show.
Let's talk about comb-overs and what we'll do when we eventually go bald.
Hero-overs.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I saw a movie with
Hugh Grant in it called Rewrites. The Rewrite. I thought it was pretty good, actually. This is Hero-overs, by the way. This is the segment.
Oh, do you just repeat what we talked about?
Yeah, we did the beginning of the show all over again. Hero-overs.
Jesus. I'm going to do a segment called Hero-over where I called various dogs and see if any of them come to me on the street.
Hero-over. Come on, boy. Come on. Sick him, Rover. Sick him.
And yeah.
There's no dogs called Rover anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Fido doesn't really work either.
It's like the name Graham.
What do you mean?
You know, no one's named that anymore.
All right.
I mean, I know it exists still as a carryover from another age. Like there's maybe one or two Herberts
around.
Are you
being sarcastic about that?
No, not at all. It's an over name. It's like David. No one gets named David anymore. It used to be like the name. Everyone was called David.
Okay.
Now, if
let
you meet
me
a
just
David,
say what you just did.
If you meet a young David, you should be so excited.
Here's what you did.
What did I do?
If you're not being for fun with that, mm-hmm. it's like you were just doing a bit.
Oh, that's right.
You were just doing a ripoff of someone else's podcast that's hosted by a guy with that name.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's pretty mean of me.
Anyway, folks, thanks for listening to our last show. And secondly,
why is it our last? Are you leaving the show now?
No, I'm going to revamp it.
You're so ashamed.
I'm going to pull a DC or a Marvel. We're going to reboot this thing.
I'm off the show, everyone.
Yeah, we're both going to be psychotic killers, though, when we come back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be a psychiatrist who's trying to cure you.
Oh, okay.
But then you, as the psychotic killer, realize I'm a better killer than you would ever be. And so you influence me, and I go out and I start killing.
Okay.
And we make it a musical.
Sounds good. I'll be the Grin Kicker.
Okay.
That's my supervillain name.
Yeah. Well, that's basically Jack Reacher, isn't it?
He does do a lot of that in the film. You're
sure
right.
Sure does.
That fight sequence. There's only really one fight sequence in the movie because he doesn't do it.
He's nuts about.
He doesn't
violence.
Do it with the Jay whatever that guy's actor's name is, Jay something. The guy at the end, the kind of brutal killer guy at the end of the film. They have a knockdown, drag him out fight when they throw away their guns.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you the thing that I was going to.
Yeah, like this segue now. Let's do a proper segue.
All right, segue.
Hero-overs.
Okay. So I'm probably not able to look this up, and that's probably for the best, but I'll just tell you what's what.
Why? Look it up. We can pause for a second. I can take this out.
No,
I can take it out.
No,
just
you
stop.
Know what? You don't. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is, I'm not going to say whose page this is
you
from.
You guys,
but it's
you're amazed by the cleanup that we just
did. It's a cartoonist, and he's talking about noting that
David Lasky.
Right. It's another cartoonist. It's actually someone I know. Saying noting
Pia
that
Guerra.
No, it is not. Noting that Marvel Comics is publishing variant covers featuring cosplayers. This is a thing.
Oh. So they're photographs?
Yeah, of cosplayers. Okay. This is a variant cover, meaning you get your regular covers, and then if you want, you get like 1 in 10 that are this.
Yeah.
But speaking of Pia, she did one recently that was a Looney Tunes variant cover
Enjoyable.
For Black Canary.
Yep.
So it's Black Canary and all these other bird characters. So it's that kind of thing.
Sure.
They do this with things. So he says, you know, noticing this is happening, the acerbic Chuck Dixon. Now, Chuck Dixon is a comic book author of note.
Yes.
He's the creator of Bane. Okay. He is he's the creator of the Birds of Prey.
Okay.
He is creator of those characters.
Sure.
He comments, it's another example of a comic book publisher looking inward rather than outward, focusing on diehard fans is a wasted effort and, frankly, makes comics look cultish and insider. Would a beer company put drunks on their bottles?
Okay. First thing I'm going to say is he's right. He's absolutely right.
Okay.
You know, and he's also wrong.
Very good.
But I mean, in his...
Let's go with both of those.
Yeah.
All right. What's your... What's
Well,
what's
I think he's absolutely right to say that, because that, if that's his opinion, then I'm happy that he said it. I'm okay. happy that he made that statement, because it's actually kind of funny. So what the heck? That's
yep.
great. And I can understand what he means, because, you know, really, it is kind of insular in a way to take people, this sort of fanish element of super, you know, superhero comics, the idea of dressing up as your favorite heroes,
right.
and then taking those people out of this sort of public display of affection and put them onto the covers of the books that they love so much.
So if you got someone who likes cosplaying as Batgirl,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
and she goes to cosplay, she goes to conventions,
yeah.
and she dresses as Batgirl, yeah. takes photos as Batgirl.
And how do they choose them, by the way? How do they choose?
I'm not
the
quite
actors?
Sure. Probably, okay. but well, probably quite easily, because
do they do auditions for them, or
no,
do people send
no,
in
I
their?
Not, oh, I don't think you. What year are we that send in? You go online.
Yeah,
you go like
it's a contest.
Batgirl. No, you don't even go contest. You go Batgirl cosplay.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do it as a contest.
Yeah, but everyone pays $5 to be in the
if
contest.
If I want to see someone like Superman cosplay, I go yeah. Superman cosplay to Google. Who's the best?
Yeah.
That guy. Who's that guy? This guy. All right. Well, let me find out if I, who's that
yeah.
guy. You want to be on the cover of a Superman comic? Yeah.
Wow.
Says
it's
that
interesting.
Guy.
So then they would fly him somewhere.
No. Why not? Why fly him somewhere? You can send a photographer to him, or, you know, there's probably someone.
But wouldn't it be cheaper to fly everyone into the same place where the photographer is, rather than have the photographer
well,
fly
now,
to separate places
you're bringing
do a photo montage?
You're bringing a couple of different issues into this. Perhaps,
okay.
perhaps you know, they get the picture taken themselves. There's always like a photographer in whatever state.
Yeah, but not a professional. I mean, maybe
there's
it's
professional photographers
I guess
everywhere.
So. I guess you could get it done to some sort of spec
absolutely, you could. Okay. And also, if it looks a little amateurish, meh. If that's the idea behind it, is like it's a cosplay. It's not.
I don't think they want it amateurish, but
it's
okay.
not. It's not yeah. a Marvel poster.
Sure.
It's a guy dressed as Ant-Man. It's yeah. not Paul Rudd in Ant-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference. Okay, but
somewhat.
So.
But
logistics aside,
it sounds that if, as soon as you start
you're
talking
worried
that
about the price of flights right now. That's not
that?
Really. That's not really the issue at hand.
I'm so concerned about that. Oh my gosh.
Are they in business
I've been
class?
Thinking, yeah. Like,
are
how
they
are they
coach?
Rating the sauce?
What movies are playing?
And who's paying for it? Are they getting
that's
reimbursed
right.
or?
Are they getting a choice of the beef or the veg? Like what are they doing? Yeah,
is
I
there
don't
a vegetarian
know.
Meal on the flight?
I don't know if they're getting paid for this.
Oh sure.
But the complaint here is,
you know, I bet they're not getting paid for it, which is, I don't like that.
Okay, you don't like it, but you've just made it up in your head. So you don't like
I don't the like thing the if they're not getting paid for it, I don't like that idea.
All right, but if they're getting paid for it, less problem.
Well, okay, I've got a few problems with it.
All
one,
right, go.
One, as you said, it's amateurish. If it's okay if it's amateurish, no, I don't like that. I don't like the idea that it's okay if something is amateurish.
Okay.
I find it kind of an odd idea. It's fan service of a particular kind that's almost...
It is fan service.
That's to
absolutely.
An nth degree fan service.
Okay.
And so fan service that it's almost insider fan service. So there's, you almost feel like there's a certain group of people that this is, that are, have an in to this, you know? And like, it's not open to everyone. It's open to a particular group of cosplayers that
who,
are.
Who is it?
I don't
open
know,
to?
But there's someone who.
People are just
there's
in
people
shape?
Who cosplay in New York City. Who do it, or people that are really well known who do the cosplay thing.
All right. These are
that they're drawing from for
these
this.
These are all possibilities, but so far they're all, you're making all this
I,
up.
I am, but I'm just trying to figure out like, where are they getting this from?
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense
I
to me.
I just think there's a danger sometimes when you're debating something to go, you set up a scenario in your head, then you
straw
argue
man.
Against.
That's right. I love straw man.
And then,
I can
and
burn
then you
them.
Get inside that wicker man, you set yourself on fire and go, you
I
burned
said,
me.
I said straw man, not wicker man.
The wicker man is a straw man.
That is my superhero, my supervillain thing is Straw Man Burner.
Okay.
Okay, well, yeah. Okay, and then.
In relation to Toby Burner, who we've had on the show before.
That's true. Absolutely. Totally related. Brother, too.
So brother to Jeff Burner, who is a very talented musician.
We're all brothers together. Me, Straw Man Burner, Toby Burner, and what was my other brother's name?
Afterburner. He's always last.
Yes. So.
Please continue. Building those straw men yourself.
I'm not going to build a straw man then.
Go ahead.
But I don't actually like photo I don't like photographs of things like that. I don't like photo covers of things. Now, so even if it was done professionally by Annie Leibovitz, bringing in people, professional cosplayers that are like the most highly, and they're being paid $100,000 for doing this, and it's posed and it's CGI'd and everything looks great, I still wouldn't like it. Because I just don't like the idea of live people on a cover.
All right, that's your personal not liking it. Yeah. Now, the idea that...
Unless it was done as a... As a what do they call that thing? The where you look through the viewfinder. If it was done as like a
viewmaster.
Viewmaster, yeah. If it was done as a viewmaster, I'd be okay with it.
All right, but So here are the complaints. It's another example of a comic book publisher looking inward rather than outward, focusing on diehard fans is a wasted effort and makes comics look cultish and insider.
Well, they already look cultish and insider. They are cultish and insider. So what? Like, what is his point?
Okay. Like, and also, okay, so do you compare it? Do you compare it to a beer company putting drunks on their bottles?
No.
No, of course. Well, let me just say that. Let me just deal with that and cut that off the list right now.
Yeah.
A drunk on a bottle is a negative image that you don't want to associate with.
You would
with
have people having a fun time party on a bottle. That's a different thing.
Right. Who will be drunk soon.
Yeah.
But you don't get.
But you don't show that.
You don't show that.
Yeah. You show them in the hot tub having a good time.
You show the couple on the condom box who are walking on the beach, not afterwards regretting what they've done and like looking at the
turned
phone.
Away from each other.
Right. Whereas I think the image of a cosplayer is not, there's nothing negative about it. It's unless you're making fun of him because he doesn't look like Iron Man.
I'm looking at it aesthetically.
It's
I'm not
celebrating.
About it.
It's celebrating this person who loves this thing enough to make an elaborate costume that looks very much like it. So it's a celebration, not a negative. And you wouldn't put a negative.
Let me just ask you about Birds of Prey for a second.
All right, please go to Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. Now, isn't that made up of various kind of minor characters put into sort of a group together, or were they all created for that group?
No, you're correct. It's what it was. After the Killing Joke, Batgirl was shot through the spine.
Yes.
She was not able to be Batgirl anymore.
She is,
And John Ostrander in Suicide Squad quietly slipped her in as the computer expert without saying that it was Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
And saying there's this character, Oracle, who was a computer expert, was helping all the Suicide Squatters.
Yeah.
And then it was revealed, it's really her. She's a computer expert now.
Yeah.
So...
A lot of spare time.
So then Chuck Dixon was putting together a team that was all going to be women.
Yeah.
It was going to be all women. So, you know, you use your Black Canary because you kind of have to use Black Canary.
Yeah.
Power Girl, because I guess Supergirl wasn't around. And then...
Boob Window.
And I think Huntress came later. Kay. But then it was Barbara Gordon was the computer whiz.
Yeah.
And so that's who they
see,
and that kind of set her off as like the computer person who could do
see, something that's very insider and very fan servicey too. To take a bunch of kind of minor characters that have, you know, kind of people who like them, but they're not getting, they're not seeing them anywhere because they're not being used a lot.
You know what you're also describing though then is, you know, back in the day, that's the Avengers. None of the Avengers were A-list characters. It was all B-listers.
Yeah.
You know, Ant-Man,
and that's
for
a good
God's
idea.
Sake.
And that's,
this,
but that's insider
the Hulk,
as well.
His book was canceled in 6 issues.
Sure.
So we're shoving them all together. Who are these guys? I don't know, but they're a big team and there they are. And then that becomes this huge thing. But please continue with your point.
Yeah. But it's still, it's insider, right? You're taking a bunch of stuff that only people who are in the know about. Like only people who are big time comic book fans know who, say, Huntress is or would know
I would say the mainstream reach out there is, we don't really have a lot of female characters. We're going to
Whatever. I'm just talking about it in terms of like,
no, this
how
why,
he's thinking about no, it. He's not thinking about it in terms of,
yes,
of
he is.
Women.
Yes, he is. Because you're thinking like, how do we get a new audience for this book? That's what DC's always thinking.
Yeah.
Or Marvel's always thinking.
Well, good luck.
But that's the thing. It's like, well, who aren't we selling to right now? And at least back then, women.
Yeah.
So, boom, we've got a book that's all women. At least you go, what's the deal with this book? That's all the women characters.
Okay.
And then what happened was it did okay, and then Gail Simone took over, and it became a cult hit with a very loyal audience that was, you know, a lot of them women who would not read the other books. But it was like, oh, there's a bunch of women here acting like women in a comic. I feel comfortable reading this book. It became a success. Gail's kind of career got launched through that. And so that occurred. And that was the way that went with that.
Former friend of the show, Gail.
That's right. And to the point where Barbara Gordon became so successful. She appeared in like a lot of video games as Oracle and this and that. And became so successful, they relaunched the Batgirl book, got her out of the wheelchair, rebooted everything. And then eventually kicked Gail off the book, I think. Oh, that wasn't a good way to go. But yeah, they've rebooted all that da-da-da. So anyway, but back to you.
Well, the reboot also is very insular as well. It's
Wait, how is the reboot insular?
Because you're recreating this thing and removing the stuff that people know about.
No, it's
like
not.
Like, the ignorant people outside of comics, and I would include myself in there, like, I have no idea what comics are doing now. I don't know what's happening with Spider-Man.
Sure.
I don't know what's happening with whoever.
Okay.
So if I went back to it now and I'd be like, oh, I want to read a story with Spider-Man and he's like still with Mary Jane and Aunt May is there and stuff like that. And I picked it up and, you know, it's someone else who's Spider-Man.
Right.
And, you know, as an outsider, I'm like, well, what the hell?
But you're an outsider. Now ask me what's going on with Batgirl.
What's going on with Batgirl?
Oh, she protects kind of the suburbs of Gotham. That's her deal. And and look at her. Let me show you a picture of her. She looks realistic to you.
Mm-hmm.
The costume she's wearing, you buy as a costume.
Yeah.
If you read the book.
People didn't buy the old costume?
No, they didn't.
I don't think they were a problem.
They didn't. Yes, they didn't buy the old costume.
They weren't a problem.
No, they were a problem.
For the movies, maybe, but not for the comics.
No, you're wrong. Completely wrong.
Why am I wrong?
Because they're not mainstream.
These comics that lasted for 50
That's
years.
That's right.
Yeah.
But not to a mainstream audience.
Okay.
They left their mainstream audience
behind.
Well,
yeah, that's true. But
like,
that's
in the 70s, man.
That was a different problem than costume.
So you had a costume is a problem. Because when you've got someone who's wearing a skin-tight leotard, and you're trying to show someone who's maybe not into comics, this character, and like, here she is, you know, boobs out, you know, ass is sticking out, and this is what the comics are, man. Like, you look at the difference between like a Catwoman comic done by Ed Brubaker and Darwin Cook, where she's wearing a realistic outfit, and the comics came later and she's just literally got her ass pointed at the camera, twisting so you see her boobs and her ass at the same time. You try and show that to a regular woman and go, you want to read this comic? No, you perv. But
I guess.
But Batgirl, the way they've designed her costume actually looks somewhat realistic, and the way they introduce her character is a way that you could actually introduce this character to someone that you don't want to feel ashamed showing a comic to. That's their goal right now, is like,
okay,
what would a real person, and I don't mean, I'm not against fans because I am one, but if someone who is not used to the fact that, you know, everyone's got boobs for days, you know, would read, you could show them this and go like, yeah, I got it. And it did launch very well. It was very successful.
I'm glad David Mazzucchelli had so much influence in comics. Because would you put that back to Batman Year One? Which was like kind of the first time you saw the characters drawn in costumes that weren't like skin tight.
Sure, yeah, I'll give that.
That seemed to have like a realistic wrinkle to them and a realistic bagginess, you know?
I think that was a big influence. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That was a real turnaround, I think, in terms of that.
I think when you got a character too, like in Marvel, they've got Ms. Marvel, who is, it's not the original Ms. Marvel. She's a Muslim girl who gets these powers and dresses quite conservatively because her parents wouldn't let her dress any other way.
Of course.
And she looks realistic, and they introduce her to you in a fairly realistic, you know, of course it's fantasy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you buy it. And it's the kind of comic that you could show to someone and not, again, it's comics that you're not ashamed to show to your friends.
Yeah.
You know, so you got your Batgirl comic where you go, yeah, I could show this to you. What's happening in Batman? Well, the Joker had his face cut off and he's doing this stuff with people. And fuck, I can't show this to you. But I can show this to you. And they seem to be like dividing up things into, here's something I can show to you, but also catering to the hardcore audience as well. But, you know, what are some books that the mainstream would go
with? So Batman is still outside of what you would think of as mainstream interest.
The way they're presenting him, well, again, you would hate this now because Batman is not Batman anymore. Commissioner Gordon is Batman now in Batman. So you would not like that probably.
Well, I think as someone who, I would think as someone who comes from it from a mainstream point of view, and that they've seen the movies. And so to them, Bruce Wayne is Batman, and they come to the comic and it's Commissioner Gordon. They're scratching their head.
Yeah, though they could go out with the idea of like, what if Batman couldn't do it anymore? Could Commissioner Gordon take over? Yeah, if he was wearing a robotic suit, maybe, I suppose. They did do one
interesting old guy.
They did one interesting thing with the comic where, you know, because Batgirl is the daughter of Commissioner Gordon, and she's always kept the secret from Commissioner Gordon. But the second he becomes Batman, he goes to her and goes, I got to tell you, I'm Batman. I would not keep this from family. Just got to let you know that. And she's like, oh, like, I can't tell you my thing now because it's really bad now. But yeah, it was a good little soap opera twist.
Interesting. Yeah.
So they are approaching the mainstream.
Let's pull it back.
All right, pull it way back. Let's go back to our first episode.
We've gone way back to
where we're talking about dragons.
That's right. Let's go pull back to where we're talking about cosplay people on covers of. I would like to, you know, you've sprung this on me without letting me actually see one of these images. So
yeah, absolutely. I have not seen any of these images.
I'd be kind of curious to see what they do. It might be really kind of cool.
Right.
I like cosplay. I love cosplay at cons. Like, I love the fact that people not just like to dress up. I love the fact that they are so creative and there's so much talent put into this dressing up, where, you know, what they create and what they make is amazing. It's just really fun.
Let me say what. All right, I'm gonna drop the subtext on you now. Here it goes. Boom. Here goes the subtext. I can't read this without going, I know what, and I don't want to say older creators, but the older creators.
Yeah.
They dislike the cosplay. And the reason they dislike the cosplay is they feel it distracts from them.
Yeah.
And cosplayers, you know, on this thread that this was posted, the person who posted the thread went, and he put this in caps, you know, so it's serious.
Yeah.
He went, I've never had a cosplayer ever buy anything off me. All right.
Yeah.
But my thing
about... that's not what they're there for.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, what I said, what I replied to, and I feel like one of these dick moves were like, he said this, so I said this. But this is...
And mine was much weirder. You know,
let me get the zinger I came back with.
Put those glasses on over there.
Sure thing. I'm putting on some glasses.
Some horn rim glasses. So this gives it...
There we go. Now I look like Clark Kent delivering this. No, what I said to that was,
okay,
you've never seen Ronald McDonald buy a burger either, but he's still an ad for McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah,
that's you've right. Never What's seen an the ad? What made these cons so big in the last few years is cosplay.
Right, and I believe
it's this huge audience of people that are coming to the shows.
And my feeling is that there's a jealousy, that it feels like these creators sit at their tables, see these cosplayers come by, and you know, they complain because, like, then they'll pose in front of the table and block the table, and they can't get their people. But if you're, especially if you're working for the mainstream, brother, they're an ad.
They're
You've
an
got
ad.
A walking commercial for, and that's what I feel it is with the with these comics. Is like, if you've got someone who loves Spider-Man enough that they've made their own Spider-Man outfit and they're dressing up as Spider-Man, then one, you could put them on the cover just to celebrate that and go, thanks, buddy. Thanks for, like, walking around and promoting this character and loving this character so much. We're going to tip it, pat of the back. We're going to put you on not every cover.
Yeah.
We're just going to put you on one. And you're optional. No one has to buy this.
Yeah.
It's just like.
That's part of it, too.
Thank you for this. Yeah. And so thank
this
you
This is for your community.
That's
this
right.
is for your community of people that
Thanks
love to do
Thanks for what you're doing. And and if you do that, then probably other people are going to dress up as Spider-Man. Now you've got a bunch of Spider-Man ads walking around your con. You didn't have to pay shit for this,
Marvel. Some of them aren't even in good shape.
Yeah, because you know what? Spider-Man doesn't have to be in good shape. I don't mind.
It helps.
No, it doesn't. Because
it helps aesthetically.
Because Spider-Man is a fantasy.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is a fantasy. And when you're sitting and reading, you know, a comic book, you project yourself into this character, and I'm fine. Like, you don't, when you're, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a kid, and the kid comes up, and the kid's dressed.
I'm very critical of Halloween.
And the kid is dressed as Batman.
They better be good.
And his dad is dressed as Robin. You don't go, lose some weight, dad. Nope. Pass.
I'm afraid I do.
No. And to me.
There's nothing here for you, dad.
Yeah. It's the same.
No candy for
it's
you.
It's the same joy of Halloween.
That's the joy I get.
This kind of thing, yeah.
You're just describe my joy.
Well,
I'm the heckler.
You dress as Statler and Waldorf.
That's together.
Yeah.
I have like a fake head on my shoulder.
That's right. You're together. Robin, all right. Robbing me the wrong way. Mean. So I think it's a positive thing. And that,
I mean.
But I understand how these creators, you know, look at this as just like, look at these guys walking around here doing this. And, you know, they kind of they dislike this and I think it really is a generational thing, whereas I think there's a younger generation, and I say that on the edge of the generation thing, where we see the cosplayers and just go, thanks, man, this is like having fireworks in a con. This is exciting. When this is the reason the news is here. If the news was here just to see sleepy artists and writers who are like, I'm on deadline, so tired, I can't look up, I'm doing sketches. Can't, you know, there's a beautiful person dressed as Wonder Woman who just walked by.
Yeah.
Now this is on the news.
There are so many different kinds of Wonder Woman too. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah. There's Wonder Woman. There's transgender Wonder Woman. There's Wonder Woman in a wheelchair. I don't give a shit. If you dress as Wonder Woman, you're Wonder Woman. Lovely. It's great. It's all fantastic. Yeah. Good on you. You know, I think that's where I find a hard time reading this complaint without going, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Especially someone like Chuck Dixon.
Yeah.
If you've got guys dressed as Bane, he gets a cut of Bane. These guys are making you fucking money. Give him a hug, man. Give him a free comic.
Bane's
Jack.
Pretty big. It's hard to hug him.
Yeah, it's true. Most Banes are. Unless you're skinny Bane from that one Batman movie. That's the pre... Remember that one? It's the one with Poison Ivy. It's a terrible movie.
Oh.
But yeah, she...
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I think it's Batman and Robin. And so it's Skinny
George
Bane
Clooney.
Who then gets filled up and then he becomes Big Bane.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He's that actor who was in Gremlins 2.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But I feel when someone goes, we shouldn't be looking inward.
He was the Donald Trump character, Clamp, the Clamp character.
Oh.
I believe.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
I remember where I saw that movie. All I really remember is Tony Randall did the voice of one of the gremlins.
I like that movie.
And at one point,
like
something gets smashed and the Batman logo comes up. I remember that.
A lot
of
silliness in that film.
I'll watch that one again.
It's a lot of silliness. It's basically a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yeah.
Live.
But let me just go to marketing for a second. If you're
turn to our marketing division.
Right.
Marketing.
If I'm marketing.
Do a better job.
Right. If I'm marketing comics.
Tweet for us.
One, I do want to bring a new audience in. That's true.
Sure.
But do I want to lose the already existing audience? The audience is.
I want that drunk audience on the beer bottles.
Sure. That's right.
That's what we want on this show.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I still think it's funny that he wrote that. So I have no problem with that. I mean, that's his opinion. That's fine. I don't have a problem. I mean, if you want to criticize him for it, whatever. But, you know, aesthetically, I don't like photographs.
Sure.
I like drawings. So I'm kind of against it that way, but I'm interested in seeing it. I wouldn't say yeah, I would hate it.
And you're pro cosplay generally.
Oh, I love cosplay.
Okay.
Huge fan of cosplay.
Very good.
Yeah, I think cosplay is great. At cons, it's great. It's terrible at funerals.
Unless
it's the body.
Oh yeah.
Go to town on
Don't cosplay as like the devil and come in and just go, "Is he ready yet?" I'm like, "No," and then hide behind a tombstone. I'll wait.
Come in, do your seventh seal cosplay.
Oh, that would actually be really good. And for chess?
That's right. Have a chessboard set up beside the coffin. He lost.
Yeah, and you're just pushing the king over.
Who invited him?
Mate. Okay. So let me throw it over to our listeners. You know, what do you think about that subject?
Let's throw it up on our listeners.
Let's throw it up on our listeners. If you're nerdy enough to know anything about this, or you have an opinion.
Right. Are you nerdy enough to have an opinion on this?
No, but
or
what,
care?
My final thought on that is like you've got to appeal to both the new audience and the old audience. Kay. And I think the older generation will always go, things were better the way it was.
Yep.
And a lot of the siren is going by. Take a drink.
Your siren, take a drink.
And oh, guys, you can't see this, but that was the Batmobile.
That was just a regular fire truck. It wasn't the hook and ladder, just the regular fire truck.
All right. I was also thinking I should have said Echo.
And the Bunnyman.
Yeah, that's right. Jeez, I was going to try to think. What's the Ecto-1? Ecto-1, that was it.
What is Ecto? Oh, from Ghostbusters.
From Ghostbusters.
I wouldn't get it.
No. I mean, what it comes down to, it feels like sometimes is, you know, things were better in the olden days. Gar, 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 gar. That's what it feels like. You know, comics used to know what they were doing. And I'm like, when did comics know what they were doing? When was this?
Things were better than in the olden days.
Were comics better? Mm. Were the comics better,
no.
You know, in the early 2000s when Marvel was in bankruptcy? Were comics better?
When everything was going down the tubes?
Yeah, when was this better time?
Although, you know, when Marvel was going down the tubes, that's when they had the big graphic novel explosion. I wonder if that was related.
Sure.
You know, the fact that there's one thing that's kind of imploding, but everyone's turning their attention to something else, you know. Mm. And now everyone's turned their attention back to superhero novels. You don't really hear about graphic novels anymore right now. Like, it's still a thriving thing. I mean, there's lots of people working in that, mining that particular field.
Right.
But you don't really hear about them the way you did, like, in the late 2000s, you know, when it was like everybody had a graphic novel deal. And so-and-so, you know, Dan Close is putting it on, and Peter Baggy's got a band, This guy's got one.
Yeah.
It's kind of slowed down a little bit.
It has slowed down. Oh, on a side note, I got a graphic novel deal.
Well.
I guess this is a good time to announce that, but without saying what it was.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing something that I'll tell you more about as things progress, and it looks like Dave's going to be part of that. So there, that's a good way to bring that up.
That's why I got
and a former guest of the show.
Former friend of the show.
That's right.
Let's just say that.
Those three elements together.
Put them together.
Put them together, and what do you got?
Bibbidi bobbidi poo.
Exactly.
Yep.
Anyway, so let me know what you think sort of about, you know, about that comics thing and cosplay. And is this a silly idea? Are variant covers in comics, are they a detriment? Does it make it too insidery? Boo! Make it more outsidery. Actually, get rid of pictures of Superman on the front of the cover. Show pictures of the great outdoors. What's wrong with the ocean? How about some mountains instead of Batman?
But that was weird when Dave Sim did that. when he did in his
series. Oh, geez, he did do that.
He did. He had a whole series. Yeah. I can't remember which. I know someone can correct me. Marcus Harwell. We mentioned Dave Sims. Oh, he'll write to us now. Yeah. You can tell me which series that was. I can't remember the name of it now.
Right. You can say Marcus Harwell's name five times in front of a mirror, and he'll tell you something he'll tell about Sim.
Dave Sims, yeah. He'll disappear. I wish I could remember. But yeah, he just did all those various outdoor. It was the one about the Hemingway one. It's based on Hemingway and his marriage, and of course it's a very sim view of marriage, and it's interesting. It's interesting. Right. Okay. I don't agree with it, but it's interesting.
Right. Let us know what you think about marriage as well. Is it for just the young?
Is it just for the young?
Should old people stop falling in love?
Is it much like a horse and carriage, which I've heard?
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, brother.
I don't know how related it is.
You can't have one
without the other.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. And on that note, we're going to say we're almost to our 200th episode. We're going to tell you what we're up to for that episode when we know. We're going to get the final confirmation.
Yeah.
It may just be me and Dave in the great outdoors. That is a possibility. That's one of the things we're throwing out there.
That'd be fine.
We might just go in the woods. And if you can find us, here's what happens. You get our pot of gold.
That's right. We're going to do the podcast as a geocache. That's our plans.
Dave and I are going to go naked into the woods
with
just microphones. If you can find us and bring us pants, we will give you...
That sounds cool already.
...a different set of pants.
Yeah. We're not going to go anywhere near mosquitoes, so it won't be near a body of water.
That's right. That's clue number one.
Clue number one. It could be near a body of water, but active body of water, not a stagnant body of water.
That's right. And there'll be a series of riddles that will lead you towards...
Yes. Us.
I'm not doing it naked. No, I'm going to wear pants. So
we can
anyway.
Do it on Wreck Beach. Mm-hmm. We can do it on Wreck Beach.
Well, now you've just told everyone where it is.
Oh, shit. We can't do it there, everybody. Sorry.
Ugh. We can't have nice things.
You said we were going to do it naked, so that kind of took it out of the equation.
It did take it out of the equation. You've never been to Wreck Beach?
No.
You should go in the winter just to, then you don't have to do nothing. And you can actually see it because it's a nice beach.
You've seen the water? I've seen the water. It's true. Beaches stink. But
beaches stink.
Yeah, like a dead seaweed smell.
Controversial,
and everything.
Controversial. Dave, anti-beach.
I like lakes.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm more of a lake guy than a sea guy.
I do not care for lakes. Too cold.
Not all lakes are cold. There's a lot of cold lakes around here. You're right, because we have a lot of glacier-fed lakes. But you can find some nice lakes that are warm. Now, my problem with Wreck Beach is that I don't care to get undressed at Wreck Beach. But there's people who do, and so it's there for them. I don't need to go and stomp around in their patch.
Are you saying this is a lot like variant covers? You don't care for it, but if they like it, it's good.
Yeah.
I win that argument. Okay, everybody, thanks so much for listening. If you want to go to our site, sneakydragon.com is our website. That's where our message board is. We're email sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. If you want to Twitter paid us, that is @sneaky_dragon on Twitter. That is @sneaky_dragon on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, Sneaky Dragon. I won this one. I've been Ian Boothby.
Someone's so excited. My name's David Dedrick.
Okay, that's all I want. Bye.
I didn't know it was a competition.
I won.